Amen. Amen. That was good worship, wasn't it? All right. Thank you. So we have some cards. Charlie, you have those? Quentin, could you help out? Maybe Sam? Let's pass those out real quick. Hopefully you have a pen. How many of you have a pen? Raise your hand if you have something to write with. All right. If someone, you see someone next to you that does not have a pen, will you share a pen? Can you do that real quickly? Let's do a quick exercise together before we dive into God's word this morning. Kind of get the blood flowing, get your hands writing, make sure that we're ready to take some notes and see where the Lord is taking us this morning. But you should get an index card. It's coming around the room right now. Charlie, if you, Quinn's right there. If you want to give him a handful, he can help you, and Sam can as well. We'll get those out quickly. Index card coming around. There's two questions that I want you to answer very quickly. Okay, two questions. So when you have that, everybody give me your thumbs up that you've got a, this is what I do in my classes when I teach. I was like, if we're doing online, I said thumbs up when you get your card, and then we can make sure everybody's there with us. Get those thumbs high. There we go. Once you've got one, everybody's got to get in there. We're getting there. Almost got it. We're throwing pens at people. No poking eyes. It's like running with scissors. All right. We don't want to do that. Amen. Okay. Look at that. Teamwork is dream work. Amen. So if you have a pen, all right, this is the number one question I want you to put down. I want you to answer. What do you love most? Number one. And be honest. Don't give me what I want to hear. This is for you and you alone. We're not going to say these out loud. So this is just for you to write down. We'll reflect on this in a little bit. Number one, what do you love most? And the second question I want to answer, you can put a number two next to this, is what's the second thing you love most? What is the second thing you love most? And when you finished, you just give me a thumbs up. Get the thumbs up across the room and we'll know that you're done. Some of you are going, do I put my wife? nobody heard that, did you? Do I put my wife down? No, I'm kidding. All right, here we go. Let's open up a prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, on the heels of such beautiful worship, proclaiming your name, singing unto you. And I pray that, Lord, you received it and it was a sweet sound in your ear. And now, Lord, we're turning our focus to time in your word. And my heart's desire is that we would hear the full counsel of the Lord this morning. That, Lord, you would speak so clearly into our hearts and our minds that, Lord, we have a haunting feeling if we do not respond to your voice. And I pray that you would have your way, and in this place this morning, Lord God, our lives would be changed. Not by anything I say, but by, Lord, what you're doing and you're saying, how you're moving through your word. Compel us, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, the love of Christ compels us. Compel us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, to turn our attention, our eyes toward you. May I be, Lord, your humble servant. May I speak what it is you want me to speak this morning. Let us not have Paul revelation. Let us have God revelation this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. And we all agreed and said, amen. So back in 2022, I had decided at that point, in fact, let me just rewind. I remember in 2020, the end of the year, going into 2021, I was miserable physically. I had put on more weight than I had ever put on. My knees and my back were hurting. And I carried that for a couple years. And I just thought, man, I don't feel good. And in 2022, I had decided, because of inspiration from a friend who decided he was going to lose weight, that I needed to lose weight. I needed to drop about 25 pounds. And I could feel in my knees, my back. You can relate with that, right? And I needed to do something. I was going to, at that point, I was teetering on turning 50 years old, and I just said, you know, by the time I'm 50, I don't want to have all this weight, and I don't want to carry it for the next 20 years, so I need to make a decision now. I'm humming just a little bit, just so you guys know back there. John, I got a little hum back here, just so you know. Do you guys hear that? Okay, good. I thought I'd make sure I'm not alone, and it's not in my head. Then we got a problem. And I decided by that time, I just needed to lose some weight. So the question was, what was I going to do? And I'm sure like many of you, I came across all these TV and internet ads. Have you seen them, you know, where they talk about how to lose weight? If you just do this one thing, you can lose all that extra weight in 90 days and have that beach body you've always wanted. Anybody seen those? You know what I'm talking about, right? And if you're online at any length, looking at, you know, in the doom scroll or whatever you're doing, I'm sure that you've seen those ads where they've unlocked the secret of how to lose the weight. Anybody? You watch those, right? All you've got to do is this one thing. But, you know, whatever the promise is, it always gets me, and I'm sure that you can relate with this, is the marketing strategy that they use behind this. You can lose this weight. You can't lose this weight because maybe you've made it too complicated. Anybody ever heard that? You know, you just complicated it. It's really simple. All you've got to do is this one thing. And then you hear, but wait. All you've got to do now in order to figure out what the secret is click on the link below and watch the video. And you're like, okay. And you click on the link and you sit there and you watch the video for 20, 30 minutes. And they're telling you what the problem is, but they never tell you what the solution is. Have you noticed that? They hear about all the wrong things you're doing and they talk about it, but they never tell you the solution. because in order to get the solution, you first got to give them your credit card number. But there's always something, if we're honest, appealing about the claim, isn't it? We see that claim. If you just simplify this thing, do this one thing, it'll be easier. What if I told you, if you just could simplify things in your life, life would be easy. Would that just be another claim? Would that be just another claim? What if I said to you this morning, if you just do this one thing, you can experience life to its fullest. You can live life like never before. If you just did this one thing, I don't know about you, but if someone told me that and they actually had the answer, it would be better than losing 25, 50 pounds. It really would. But the question is that just another marketing ploy? If I were to tell you that this morning. So what I want you to do is turn to the book of Mark. You know where we are. You should have seen it in the video. We're in chapter 12, and I want you to turn to verse 28. And I want you to see what Jesus is talking about. He's about to talk about the one thing that is above every other one thing. And then when we get through this, at the end of this message, this is what I want you to do. I want you to see for yourself if what I'm saying is just a claim or if it's just truth. Fair enough? Yeah? Say yeah. All right. Verse 28. Let's start there together. Mark chapter 12. This is picking up on the heels of last week's sermon that Steve shared with us. And it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus had answered them well, he asked, 'Which commandment,'" listen to the words, "'which commandment is the most important of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you," read this with me, let's say it together, "'and you shall love the Lord your God with all your, there it is, amen. And then he goes on to say, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that his answer was wise, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. We're going to go deep this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. So just having set the Sadducees straight about the resurrection of the dead, and Pastor Steve preached about that last week. Good sermon, by the way. And if you haven't heard that sermon or haven't seen it yet, you're welcome to go to the church app or go to our YouTube channel and catch up. I don't know about you, but this series on Mark has been powerful. Powerful. And going back to the text. So we see one of the scribes who overheard the conversation. Now he thinks to himself, man, Jesus dealt with that well, so I've got another question for him. I'm going to ask him a question because he'd be a good person to ask about this long-standing, much-debated, going-back-generations question that all of us Jewish teachers have been kind of fighting over. Okay? And we hear the question in verse 28 of the 613 commandments, okay, that have now been added to the law of Moses. He asks this question. He says, which commandment is the most important of all? Now, some back then and even some today, okay, might answer by saying every commandment that God gives is therefore equally important. And that might sound good, but it just isn't correct. And why do we know that? Because of the answer that Jesus gives. Remember this, Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully man. Okay, so he knows what he's saying, right? And so catch this. Rather than correct the question, you know what Jesus does? He answers the question. And this is what he says. There is a most, you catch that language? Most important commandment from God, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's what he's quoting. This morning, I'd like for us to think very carefully about the most important commandment or command. Since, listen, according to Jesus, it is really that one thing that is above all other one things. So let's think carefully about this commandment by focusing on both the who and, well, the who of the commandment, and then also the how. Fair enough? So let's focus on the who. I want you to notice how Jesus includes the full counsel of the Lord. He goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he's basically quoting verses 4 and 5. He says, hear, everybody point to your ear, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. To me, that sounds like what, Tom? It sounds like everything. That's right. Jesus wants to remind you, me, his listeners. By the way, he's speaking to people who are in Israel, right? He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking directly to them. They can truly speak about the Lord is our God because they're the chosen ones, right? They can truly say that. The Lord is your God. Not only was he God, okay, Jesus speaking to them, knowing what he's saying to them. Not only does he know all these things, but Jesus goes further. He reminds them the Lord is one. I'm going to go into that a little more later, okay? I don't want you to miss, when it comes to this most important commandment of loving God, that this is one important thing you got to realize. God's identity is absolutely crucial. God's identity, he is the Lord our God. He is one. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? When you think about your own life, he is one. He's it. He's it. Everything in our lives should start with God and then fall under God. Does that make sense? Okay? Not going, well, God's one, but then everything else in my life, well, it's whatever I choose. Everything starts with God and is under God. That's important. We live in a culture. We live in a culture today where around 66%, and these aren't made up numbers, 60% of the U.S. population believe in God on some level or claim to be a Christian. Okay? But at the same time, the number of genuine followers, what I mean by that is people who are self-denying, Bible-believing Christians, they have a biblical worldview, they believe the Bible to be God's word, it's true, it's right, there's no error in it, they are Christ followers, they're following after Christ. Well, we got 66% that claim, this is going to be hard to hear, okay? But in the U.S., research shows us that there's really about 4 to 9% who are actually genuine followers of Jesus Christ in the U.S. population. 4 to 9%. I don't know about you, that sounds like a remnant, doesn't it? That means there's this huge amount of people who talk about God, but don't actually know the God of the Bible personally. Here's the big question we need to ask ourselves this morning. How can you love someone you don't know? How can you love someone you don't know? I mean, we can absolutely love the idea of loving someone, right? An idea that's shaped by the most part by our own imagination. I got this idea of God. There's a real danger. There is a real danger when we begin to shape God into our image. Okay? You want the best source to be able to identify who God is? Go to His Word. And then hold yourself over and against His Word. That's what I would say we'd need to do. Rather than caught up and, you know, watching the Ten Commandments on television, it's great entertainment, okay? But go to God's Word, right? Rather than watching The Chosen, go to God's Word. I'm not saying you can't watch those things, but discern them carefully. We can absolutely love the theological concept of God being our true north or our moral compass, right? We can absolutely love religion and this supposed security that we get from religious duty and from religious responsibility. Well, I'm going to church. I pay my tithe. I'm good. We can also find comfort. This is one you need to hear this morning, in what is known as religious traditions, which I call sacred cows. We need to be careful with those too, right? We can find a lot of comfort in those things. You can even love the idea of God as a nationalistic symbol, as a value reference, or as a kind of glue, community glue that holds all things together, or unifying principle that connects you to other people. But none of those things are what Jesus is describing in this passage. Can you tell I'm worked up over this sermon? Jesus isn't describing that. He says, to love God, you must know God. It makes sense to me, doesn't it? And to know God, you must seek God. And to seek God, you must look for Him in the very place where He has made Himself known, which is Jesus Christ, His Son. Look at what it says in John 14, 6. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look what it says in Acts chapter 4, verses 11, 12. It says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among which by men will be saved. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. The world will tell you there are many ways. There's only one way. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. That's God's word. For us to understand this one thing, we must focus on the one. We must focus on the one. We must first know the one personally in order for the simplicity of the gospel to become reality in our lives. The second thing is we got to focus on the how. I want you to look back at the word of this most important commandment. He says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That formula, we hear it over and over again, right? In God's word, we hear it in churches, right? And it sounds so familiar. But what does it mean? We're going to get to the heart of it, right? What does it mean? We hear that and we're like, that's great. Yes, But what does it mean in practical terms? I want you to remember, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it said, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And if that's true, then the formula makes sense. Okay? The formula of all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. When we look at that, that is not first about loving God in every area of your life. What it really is a warning against being half-hearted. It's a warning against being lukewarm. And you think about Revelations, it talks about hot or cold. You're either hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It's a warning against half-heartedness. It's a caution about, listen to me this morning, divided loyalties. Divided loyalties. It's a call to a culture that in everything we have devotion to God. So what Jesus is describing here is this fully invested love. Got your attention now, don't I? While most of us are not like dealing with actual, you know, idols, literal idols and ancient deities like they did in Jesus's day, ancient Israel. At the same time, every single one of us, every single day, we battle with a divided heart. We battle with a divided heart. See, the question is, do you love God? And you may answer yes. You may answer yes, but your life might also be marked by a kind of devotion, by this ultimate love that is directed at something else. It can be directed at many things. I might use this example. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just using it because today, this afternoon, I will probably go home and watch some football, okay? How many of you are going to go home and watch some football? Be honest. Like I know one back there for sure. Anybody else? All right. All right. And, you know, it's not as simple as saying that, yeah, I love football, you know? You can live by this most important command to love God and still love football. Okay? Hear my heart. But if, for example, football keeps you from gathering and growing with God's people on Sunday morning or throughout the week, then your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength are divided. They're divided. In light of what we just heard about the Bible as this guide to genuinely loving God, we should be praying like the psalmist did in verses 86 and 11 of Psalms, where he says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Let's bow our heads. Just pray real quick. Father, I pray as we get into this last part of the sermon this morning, Lord. Oh, I pray that we would heed this word. That we would really take inventory of what it means to love you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Let's just take a moment to consider two more things about this passage that I think are really important. First, this priority of the one thing. This one thing that is above every other one thing. It's confirmed by how Jesus responds to that scribe in his closing remarks in verses 32 and 33. The scribe, if you notice, he wholeheartedly supports, he agrees with the answer that Jesus gives, even to the point of emphasizing, this is important, the importance of love for God and others over the ritual sacrifices of that Mosaic law. He says it's more important than that. And so how does Jesus respond to his answer? Look at what he says in verse 34. He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And what I think Jesus is saying is when you correctly put first things first, catch this, first things first, what it is, that's an indication that God is at work in you. He's preparing you for the message of the kingdom. He's preparing you. You got it right. Now keep going. And listen, church. Listen, church. That's another reminder about the importance of putting first things first. Second, I don't want you to miss how Jesus provides a runner-up commandment. And why does he do this? Because the first commandment, that first commandment concerns our vertical relationship, all right? Right? But the second commandment is addressing the concern of the vertical or the horizontal relationships that we have. This is important. You see, because God's word, it regularly ties, okay, these two ideas together so closely that I believe we can talk about these things as being still one thing. Because they're still tied closely together. And so what we've got to do is we've got to give absolute priority to what God's word is saying here. Here's what I hope you'll take away from this central passage that we're spending time in this morning. These verses are not just more than this addition to our database of devotional duties or responsibilities as a Christ follower, okay? This is important. These verses are emphasizing the absolute priority of God-directed, fully invested love. Did you hear that? God-directed, fully invested love. Why is this most important commandment so important? Because, listen, it establishes this fixed point of reference of living life as it was meant to be lived. You heard it in our scripture-led prayer. That means that it applies to every single area of our life. It applies to every single thing we do. God forgive us. Anybody feeling convicted right now? I know I do. So I'm going to adjust the claim. It's on the screen that I made from the outset. If you just do this one thing in all things, you can experience life as it was meant to be lived. In all things, not just Sunday, not just when it's convenient, just not when you feel like being good, not just when you're around other Christians. In all things, every single thing, wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do. And what is it that we're doing? We are being directed by God and have fully invested love. You know, when it comes to living out your faith, it is so easy to get distracted. Anybody? I'm not alone, right? It's easy to get distracted. You see, we busy ourselves with careers. We busy ourselves with even retirement. You're like, how did I do that? You know, okay? We busy ourselves with recreation. We busy ourselves with so many things. We busy ourselves with the next thing, right? We make lists of really bad and kind of bad sins. We kind of focus on, man, well, I'm not doing too bad. We talk about sound doctrine, which we do. We get distracted by culture wars. We get distracted by politics. Oh, man, that's the word of the day, isn't it? We read the latest books. We listen to the latest worship songs. But are we focused on Jesus while we're doing that? See the difference? We give our money, but are we giving it because we love God or because we have to? We focus on all these unimportant things, and it shapes our lives when God's word should be shaping our lives. Our love for God should be shaping our lives. And here's the truth. In all of our busyness, in our spiritual pursuits, we may be neglecting the most important commandment. The most important commandment. And you might say, well, Pastor, aren't we called to do a lot of things as Christians? Yeah, we are. But this God-directed, fully invested love always directs us deeper, listen to me this morning, into the fullness of Christian living. Into the fullness of Christ-like living. The person who is seeking above all else to love God wholeheartedly will want to know God more fully, will want to talk to God more frequently, will want to please God more faithfully, and will want to worship more freely. Is that you? Is that you? Does that describe you? If we do those things, get to a place where we want to know God more, we want to talk to God more, we want to please God more, where we want to worship God more. If we do those things, then God's love and love for God, listen to me this morning, become the driving force in our learning, becomes a driving force in our fellowship. It becomes a driving force in our decisions. It becomes a driving force in our services. It becomes the driving force in how we serve and how we love, in our relationships and our finances and our politics, in every part of our lives. The most important commandment reminds us of what is most important when it comes to our motives, why we do what we do. When you give absolute priority to God-directed, fully invested love, your life, oh, hear me this morning, your life becomes an expression of love rather than devotion to duty. Sometimes we feel like, I got to do this because God's watching. I got to say the right thing. How are you, brother? I'm good. I'm good. How are you, brother? Hallelujah. Amen. Rather than doing it because of God's love that's directing everything that we do. Can you imagine how that would change this world? Can you imagine how it would change your life and the people around you and our community? What it does is, this is the question we need, not the question, this is where we need to be. God's love should drive us to ask first, not what a Christian does, but who a Christian loves. The Apostle Paul says it best in Galatians 5. He says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through what? Love. Now think about that in the context of what we're reading in the book of Mark right now, right? We talk about the right response to Jesus' identity in our lives. And you know what that identity should be in us? That we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's what it should be. We deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. So as we close here, I got to ask the question, what has God provided us with this morning? What has he provided us with this morning? What he has done is he has given us the secret sauce. We didn't have to watch the 30-minute video. You just had to listen to me for 20 minutes. He has given us the secret sauce of what it means to follow Jesus. We follow Jesus best when we, listen to this, put loving God first. We follow Jesus best when we put loving God first. You see, Jesus is not only talking about God-directed, fully invested love, he lived it. He's not just saying it. He lived it out for you and for me to see. He lived it, and he lived it all the way to the cross where he died for you and me. And you know what? He's still doing it, even as our resurrected Lord, even as our faithful high priest, fulfilling this commandment for us for all eternity as we watch him. So listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then this morning, God is calling you to make sure that the first thing is first. If you do this one thing in all things, you can experience life as it was meant to be lived. That doesn't seem so hard, does it? I'm honestly asking that question. Doesn't seem so hard, does it? We've complicated it with religion. We've complicated with all these traditions and the things that we do. And all we need to do is go back to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which Jesus
echoed right here in Mark chapter 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, Jesus knows, well, God knows how easy it is for us to get distracted, right? He knows how easy it is for us to make lists, to get discouraged, to be enticed by so many other one things. He knows about our struggles. He knows that it's real. He cares, and that's why he gave us Jesus. That's why he gave us his spirit that now resides in us. I want you to think with me about the things in your life that inspire love. That's why I had you write those things out before. Number one, what do you love most? Number two, what's the second thing you love most? There's a reason I asked you that. And this is what I want you to ask yourself this morning. Could anything, can anyone be worthy of our love like God is? No. And the good news about Jesus, the gospel, is that it's all put on display like nothing else. If we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says he loved us first, right? We love because he first loved us. You heard me say it before. A person seeking above all else to love God wholeheartedly will want to know God more fully, will want to talk to God more frequently, will want to please God more faithfully, and worship God freely. I don't know about you. I need that truth this morning. You might need that truth this morning as well. Because there are so many things in this world that are pulling at our affections. And I would just encourage you today to maybe start something new as you talk about, okay, only God is worthy of my love. How do I express that? Maybe today, when you leave this place, or maybe even before you leave this place, in the way that you interact with each other, not because you have to. Well, I got to be nice to these Christian people because I'm a Christian. I was joking with Charlie this morning. I remember a pastor one time came home from church, opened his door, walked in the house, didn't know people were in there, just finished basically teaching a class on Wednesday night. Didn't realize people were in the house in the next room. He walked in the door, saw his wife, goes, I hate those people. I can't stand them. But in front of him, he was like, I love you. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want half-heartedness. If you just do this one thing in all things, you'll live life the way that it was meant to be lived. You'll be able to make what is most important in your life. That's where you need to give your priority, your focus, to a life of God-directed, fully invested love. Not the kind of love the world describes, but God's love. You know, when we think about God's love, the Bible tells us it's called agape love. And you know, you break it down, I don't want to get into all theological terms and stuff, but you know, you've got three types of love, right? You got filio, you got eros, and then you have agape, right? And filio is, we know that from Philadelphia, it's brotherly love, you know? And we have eros, which a lot of people, it's been kind of hijacked by the world and turned into this erotic thing, but it's eros, which means it's a different kind of love. You know, filial love is mutual. You know, eros is where, you know, I love someone and we give and take kind of thing, expression. Then you have agape love, which is God's love, which means gives regardless of what the other person does. Doesn't matter what you do. It matters what I do. And so God just gives and gives and gives. He's not giving dependent on what you give him. He doesn't need anything from you. He just gives because he's God. Imagine if we all took that attitude on and we just love people. Our neighbors, our enemies the way that God loves us. It would change everything. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Final thought. These two commandments, listen. These two commandments are on which everything hangs. Everything hangs on them. You cannot have one without the other. You can't love God and hate your neighbor. You can't love God and hate those people who don't agree with you. There are two sides. There are two sides of the same thing. That's why it's one thing. It's one thing. And if you want to know how well or how much you love God, then just look at how much and how well you love your neighbors. I don't know if you feel the same way I do right now. I've stepped all over my toes. In this moment, we got to be real, people. The church has been half-hearted for too long. And that's why the world is going to hell so quickly. Because we say we love God, but man, we treat everybody else like garbage. We say we love God, but our devotion is focused on other things. We don't have this God-directed, fully invested love. It's kind of half-hearted. I love you, brother, only when it's convenient for me. You know how many people, they base their relationship on eros? You know, I like that person as long as we get along. But when we don't get along, man, you know? Come on, let's be real. And that's why it's so easy in the church to write people off. I've been saying it for years, but the church is the only place where they kill their wounded. And it's time for us to really be God-directed. It's time for us to get off of our throne and allow God to get on the throne, because if we really love him, we're going to get out of his way in our own lives. And it's time today for us to be real. It really is. I don't want to be just another church that's out there talking about all the right things to do and we don't do it. I want us to live it out. I want us to be a church where people see us and they go, they're God-directed, they're fully invested. They are showing us the love of God because they love God. They truly love God. We're gearing up for something. I'm telling you that right now. We're gearing up for something. God is leading us somewhere, and it's time for us to get on board with him, and that means we must put aside what we think and open up his word. Does that make sense? We got our own ideas. It's time to get his idea, his love in our lives. I want you to pray with me, and I want you to, in this moment, man, I want to lay it down. I'm at a place where I just want to say, Lord, I want to lay it down. I want you more than anything else. I want you. I want to know you more. I want to talk to you more frequently. I want to please you faithfully. I want to worship you freely. If we just do this one thing in all things, we will live life as it was meant to be. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all of you. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Take all the garbage out and just put Jesus. And love the Lord your God with all your strength. Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning, Lord God, and honestly, with humble hearts. And I'm asking you, Lord, in my own life, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, of not always putting the first thing first. I want to live life as it was meant to be lived. It starts with you. It starts with loving you, devotion, and not because I have to, but Lord, because I want to. Let that be what we're all praying in this moment as we're, I believe, confessing of all these other one things that we've put in place of the one thing. I pray this morning that as we're really seeking you, as we're really just going after you this morning, Lord God, that when we leave this place, Lord, we know that we have not just said something, but Lord, we've experienced something. And your Holy Spirit inside of us that's transforming us and changing us and causing us to want to know you more, to want to talk to you more, to want to open our Bibles and spend more time with you, want to please you, want to worship you. Drive us to our knees. Drive us to our knees. Oh, Lord. Sam, Abby, will you come up here? Just for where you are right now, just quietly pray to the Lord. Reflect on those two questions and now just answer them. Answer them in your heart as you pray to the Lord, and God would replace whatever you put in there with true love for God, true love for what he wants, true love for what's on his heart. And Sam and Abby, do this song. May this become the prayer of your heart. And I would ask you to meditate on those words, but also begin to make it the worship of your heart, prayer of your heart, all those things. That Lord, this morning, oh, we would all make a commitment, a new commitment to you, Lord, of devotion. Get into this time. It can be overplanned, and we don't make room for God. And I don't want to do that. I believe God's speaking to many of you this morning. He's challenged our hearts. He's challenged my heart about this one thing, this most important thing that I think, honestly, his church has neglected. And this morning, I am committing to this most important thing, to make the first thing first. Will you? I mean, geez, honestly, what really scared me is as I was doing my research and I saw that 6 to 9%, they can't even land on a number, are genuinely followers of Jesus Christ in the United States. And I'm thinking to myself, what? But it's true. We got a lot of people who play, a lot of people who like the idea, a lot of people who are tradition, a lot of people who are just saying, my mom was a Christian, so I'm therefore a Christian. We're not born into that. And so this morning, I ask you, let's be more than words. Amen. Let's be. Let our actions speak. Let it be God-directed, fully invested love, because we love God. And because of our love for God, it drives everything that we do. Everything that we do. Everything. If we just do this one thing in all things, we will live life as it's meant to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Have we heard from the Lord this morning? Now I tell you, apply it in your life as you go. Amen? Amen. I'm going to hold you to that. And you hold me to it as His church. I believe we have some announcements before we leave. I don't know who. Selby, come on up, Selby.